Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Episode 16. In this installment, Yogi is trying to meditate in his grass hut by the Ganges. An apprentice yogi needs good tools. He's seen them on TV. A deer skin, a white wool mat to lock yogic power in the little grass hut, the little grass hut. A well-read yogi knows all the value of a wood bairagan with a flattened top where elbows lean till they overbalance jogging sleep in the little grass hut, in the little grass hut. He started the salutation. With forehead bending to the earth, I bow to you. Turning north, south, east, and west, I bow to you. Light streaming up the spinal column, I bow to you. With lotus posture now facing the sunrise, I bow to you. With left hand raised in greeting, I bow to you. And right hand, like an open cup in the lap, I bow to you. With nostrils breathing in the sun, I bow to you. With faith and belief in faith and belief, I bow to you. With fruit and garlands placed at your feet, I bow to you. And slipped between breaths, like the gaps between film frames, or slow-motion thoughts, which are dissolving wisps of cirrus in high blue. This is the way to lose definition, until one is a blip of consciousness, hearing and seeing from omniscience without a body or hindrance of muscle and bone. But now he pushes against a black wall, like a blind mole against earth, nosing ahead, finding memory tunnels with light at the end. He chooses one, hoping it will lead him home. Is meditation a method like winding oneself out as a childhood kite on a string? If so, endeavor is the crimson diamond that can't be steered for long. The white yogi's will was a fickle string with glass dust that wanted to cut free to rub against another string or something sharp. The silver cord severs and slips from the knot of the fist above the treetops of his past. Be free, drift away. But to where? A tunnel opens to a darkened bedroom. He is age 13, trying to hotwire the air above the bed, where a sop with camel, the Red Baron triplane, a Spitfire, a Messerschmitt, a Zero and a Mustang glued and painted dangle on strings. The books he has read say, make your thought light as a dove feather, separate from body. Project your will as natural as a smile, like the arc of a basketball through the hoop. The model planes move, mind over matter? Well, no, just a waft of cross breeze passing through his bedroom window. Today, inside the hut, in White Yogi's head, meditation was digression in reverse gear. This time, Mr. Hart, 15 years dead, is flying a dozen kites from the back of a station wagon. He demos again, tailless, whirling diamonds, tissue paper glued to flimsy canes against blue sky. Boys, the best customers, were pulled each weekend to that spot along the lake and given a wooden reel and taught to fan out cotton as if fishing in the air, finger cocked for a strike. One tug to left or right and the kite goes there, two tugs or more and bright geometry spins in a tight circle. If only the mind could be reeled in and out so deftly. This was the technique of old Mr. Hart, but the old dogfight of thoughts kept struggling to break free. It was the long string of memory that kept him tied, life after life, to this plane of earth. Who was this beyond sleep, beyond dream, beyond waking, jerked back and forth, dangling on a string without controls? Nodding, head and arms, he flicked back to consciousness like the kite on its leagues of string reeled in. As he opened eyes, he was a marionette whose strings had been cut. He straightened his slump as he took a drink from the spout of the terracotta pot, disgruntled with failure to remain upright and let the spinal light flow. If only he had something to lean on, he'd have fewer distractions. White Yogi needed a Bairagan. He sculpted it in his mind, hand-carved flat armrest, shaped like the letter T, an antique tool to lean yoga upon and overbalance, a nodding off meditation. He went 1 week, then next fortnight, on the bashed-in blue bus to Barhai Furniture Shop to get it made as per pictures of the loin-clothed holy. He told the fat proprietor sipping chai in his shop. Master artisan of the planned excuse, Lalu Barhai said, "I am waiting for red tonwood, Sadhu Sahib, used for musical instruments. Beautiful finish, light and strong. It is coming from Himachal Pradesh, but this wood is restricted to ship across state borders. We are having to pay something extra," he said, raising a sawdust eyebrow. Next visit. "Oh, sorry, my wood hauler has gone for wedding. Will not be back until Monday." Another week later, the little log has reached, but Barhai's artisan cousin has died. "Gaurav has gone for funeral. Will not be back until..." Next visit. "Sacred objects need blessings. Garamukteshwara Baba is on yatra to Haridwar." Another. "Oh, such things cannot be hurried, Sadhu Sahib. I will get you a cold lemon limca." Shouting downstairs to a pushcart walla to bring lemonade upstairs fast. "Yo baya ek limca. Leke ao jaldi." "Ji sahib." What's all this about? The time pass game of India? Such a simple job, Yogi thought. Each visit, Lalu Barhai promoted his Marha Kirtan Mandal event, the coming festival. Master artisan of the hidden motive now makes himself clearer. He will give the Bairagan for free. "I help you, you help me, I am telling everyone. Gaura Sahib, White Sadhu Sahib is coming for guest of honor." White Yogi, flattered, divulged some shyness, like a heron bending its neck under a wing. Should he trust Barhai, who smelled too much of business? Days and days were passing, and the hands of clockish time on the government office weren't budging. He agreed, unbalanced, blinded, for the sake of a Bairagan to be made of tunwood, red as cedar, lacquered like a cricket bat, vivid before his eyes. He read the pallid watercolour sky, a washy blueness caused by humid vapour hanging in the air. Australian blue is cobalt clear, or was it just his mind? Yogi had lost some weight by walking here to his grass hut and eating once a day. Foreign madam brought his meal in steel, the tiffin after school or sent Atul. Simple villagers knelt, carrying ripe fruit from a river patch, and left them as offerings, believing grace would enter when you serve a sadhu. He walked faster under the pallid sky, reaching the hut, picking up a melon. Not many come here except the shepherd boys driving goats or cows in search of kikara leaves or shoots of grass. Sometimes they would whack the rump of a beast. The crack of stick can echo on for a mile across the weedy sandhills. They had seen White Yogi moving to and fro, or sitting all day long inside the hut, a grass triangle of shade. They were happy a sadhu was amongst them. Foreignness might be a boon. They kept herds downwind from his camp. His long days passed like this, looking for distraction. Sitting made no sense. Still led on back to the past, old faces, stories, scars that would not go away. He returned each dawn, wandering through the sunflowers, looking out for swamp lilies, opening white crowns. Beneath, the fishes darted like ambitious thoughts. Then back through melon plots, forward to the sandhills, he watched the cranes and ducks. He saw men on fishing boats casting in deep channels their nets like silver chainmail. He ambled like a buffalo down the swampland track, looking for clues in the dust. If only he could be free, as boys who dive like birds right off the end of the bank. He wandered up and down, dipping in the Ganga, then sitting one day on the bank, his long dark hair soaked through, loins covered with the dhoti, he tried to meditate, there on the packed down sand shaded by the river. Yogi's eyes were closed, like water snails in shells. He sat in lotus pose, thumb and first finger joined in Gyan Mudra, upturned on his knees. He was trying once again to find his inner poise until he heard some splashing, some paddling through the water, closer, closer. Still, he kept both eyes shut, but then two hands touched his legs. He opened up fresh eyes. A forehead and black hair were resting on his shins. Babar mekaro baba, father bless me father, the weeping man had said. He patted the man on the head, who bowed and then retreated with a radiant face. Perhaps the man would be blessed by simple faith, but here and now Yogi felt like a fake. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Join me next week for another episode.